16th chapter, Acts 15, verse 36. Acts 15, verse 36, page 1171, your old Scofield reference Bible. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with him, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. So we can see here that how John, a young man who had a Christian heritage, saved, child of God, for some reason left the Word, turned his back on God and God's men, and went back. And he may have not gone out into deep sin, but he just turned his back on serving God and left them. And Paul did not think it was right to take him with him at that time. And then there Barnabas split and took Mark with him and sailed unto Cyprus. So we don't know the full story of the problem here, but he departed and went not with them to the work. He left them. And I want to speak to you tonight on why Christians turn back on God. I'm not talking about the unsaved, and I'm not talking about false professors and unsaved church members. I'm talking about why good people, why Christians sometimes will turn back on serving God, turn back on God. We see that everywhere. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we thank you for this good day that you've given us. Lord, we've felt the presence and the sense of your presence in both services today, and it's been good to just worship you in spirit and in truth and to praise your high and holy name. And we lift our hearts in adoration and praise unto him that is worthy tonight, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is an exalted Savior. He's high and lifted up, and we praise him tonight. And we praise the Father, we praise the Son, we praise the Spirit, the great three in one tonight. We invite the presence of heaven to be in our midst now as the Word of God goes out. May the Holy Spirit do his office work, Lord, and convict of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, and build up believers in the faith tonight. Now anoint me as I preach, and Lord, help me to preach tonight with that help that comes from God, that sweet liberty. Help me to glorify Jesus, not self or anyone or any organization, but just exalt Jesus and lift him up, and may we see him tonight. Maybe perchance somebody's here away from the Lord. Somebody that's saved, knows the Lord, but they've drifted, or maybe they've turned their back for some reason on the Lord and they need to come back home. May they come back tonight. The way home is the way back by the cross. And may they come back home tonight to the Lord and to new and renewed fellowship with Jesus. Now help, I pray, in this service, defeat the devil in Jesus' name. Make it easy for people to obey God tonight. In his name we pray. Amen. It is a sad thing to see saved, someone who is saved, to quit serving the Lord or to just drop out of church and become a spiritual dropout. Now, I'm not dealing with people who will come to church for a while and just drop out, never been saved. And those who make a false profession and just fizz out. I'm not talking about the apostates who come and apostatize. But I'm talking about somebody that really knows the Lord. Somebody that's really born again. Someone who has felt the presence of another world and known the presence of the Lord. And then for some reason to turn back on the Lord. And we, all of us who've been saved very long, know people like that. Now, what causes people to just throw in the towel and to give up and turn their back on God and the church and the ministry and serving the Lord? Let's just look at some possible reasons. There's many reasons. Let me just give you a few reasons tonight why Christians turn their back on God. Well, first of all, I believe that one of the reasons, we must start at the beginning. I believe they have a defective beginning. They got saved. They really got saved and come to know the Lord, but and maybe attended for a while, and they enjoyed the presence of the Lord, and it was a thrill to know that they were saved and on their way to heaven and a member of God's family. But their growth in the Christian life somehow was aborted, and they just never grew up in the Lord. They stayed spiritual babies, and they did not get started off right. I believe that's the reason a lot of people, they'll get started off right, maybe get in church, maybe even start serving the Lord and take a position and go out witnessing. Before you know it, they start fizzing out. And they really never got started right off the starting block. I know when I ran track in college, I never saw a track that went off to college. We had a cow pasture. We played football where I was in high school and never saw a track meet. And I went out just on that training table to get all that good food. But I found out quick that if you're going to win a race, you've got to get off the starting block quick. I mean, as soon as that gun goes up, you've got to go. I mean, you've got to just blast out of the starting block. And if you left sitting in the starting block, I don't care how fast you are, you're going to lose in a 100-yard dash and maybe even a 220. And a lot of Christians, they get in the race, they get in the starting block, but they're left sitting in the starting block in the race of the Christian life. And 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, once we get saved, we need to get involved in growing in the Lord. We need, first of all, to get into Bible-believing church, a fundamental Bible-believing church. And just getting in church after you get saved is not the answer. You can get in a church where they don't believe the Bible and teach the Bible, don't have standards, and don't exalt you in holiness and God, exhort you in holiness and godliness, and that won't help you to get on the way in the Christian life. Well, you need to get involved in a Bible-believing church and then be faithful to every service. Now, when a young Christian gets saved, young in the Lord, just start, and they just come on Sunday morning, they don't have much hope in the Christian life of ever growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. They may be saved, but they'll just never do much for God. So first of all is getting involved and faithfully attending and in fellowship with a local body of believers. And then also, after you get involved in the church, we need, if we're saved, we need to follow the Lord in baptism. Now, you just are not going to make it. You're not going to make it in the Christian life if you don't get baptized. I mean, you're just not going to make it. I don't know anybody ever amounts to much spiritually who will not follow the Lord in believer's baptism. So another reason people don't make it in the Christian life, they get saved, but they won't follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And then also, if a person really gets saved, and they do not start in a program of reading God's Word and daily feeding off of the Word of God and praying, they're going to fall by the wayside. I mean, they're not going to grow up and be strong and go on with the Lord. They're going to turn their back on God somewhere along the line. We just must spend time daily in the Word of God and in prayer. And then also, we don't get started off right if we don't start witnessing. One of the greatest times to start witnessing is right after you get saved. Right then, start witnessing. Because if you're saved and you have that newfound faith and you're glad you're saved and on your way to heaven, right then is the time to go to your loved ones and your friends and tell them about it and start witnessing for Jesus Christ and telling your lost friends and loved ones about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's so important that we get started off right. And a lot of people turn their back on God because they get saved and their beginning in the Christian life is defective, and before long, they're falling by the wayside. Then another reason people turn their back on God is because of neglect. And I've already said a little bit about this, but I want to emphasize this particularly here. The neglect of daily private devotions. Probably most born-again Christians who lose out with God start spiritual slippage not with committing adultery. And their spiritual slippage doesn't start with maybe getting drunk or dropping out of a Sunday school class and just falling by the wayside, or dropping all out of the bus ministry or out of church, or it doesn't even start with dropping out of the ministry. We see preachers dropping out of the ministry. But I don't believe it starts there. I believe you start turning your back on God when you neglect a daily time in the Word and in prayer. You're just not going to make it without the book. You're not going to do it. You're not going to make it without God's Word. And when we get in the Word, God speaks to our soul. And then when we talk to God, when we in prayer, we talk to God. So through the Word, God speaks to us in prayer. We talk to God. And we need the Word and we need the prayer. Listen to this. Alienation with God begins when we do not communicate with Him. And let me repeat that. That's so important that we get this concept. Alienation with God begins when we don't communicate with Him. Lack of communication ruins many marriages and many friendships. You heard the old story about the young fellow went off to the service and he had fallen in love with that young, beautiful young girl. They were in love, and the young fellow went in the army, and he said, "Honey, I'm going to write you every day and tell you how much I love you." And he did, and she married the postman. So we must have communication with the Lord. And I don't care who you are. You may be a preacher or a church leader or a Sunday school teacher or a bus captain or whoever you are. If you're neglecting time in the Word of God every day and in prayer, folks, we're out of touch with God and headed for spiritual trouble. And you will be a spiritual casualty, or at least you'll be a defeated Christian before long. Every member of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church just must. I want to emphasize this, and I've been emphasizing this lately a whole lot, and I think this is the key to having a spiritual church, is we as a body of believers must spend time in this blessed book every day and in prayer. We must do it. If we're going to be a spiritual church, oh, we can say, "Thank God I'm an independent, Bible-believing, fundamental Baptist." Yeah. And listen, yes, and if we don't spend time reading the Bible and praying and have fellowship with the Lord and communing with the Lord, what good will it be for us to be a fundamental, independent Baptist? I believe in being doctrinally pure, but folks, we must be doctrinally pure and stay right on the fundamental faith. But folks, the sweet part of the Christian life is being in fellowship with the Lord. We can't neglect that. We must stay in fellowship with the Lord through His Word and through prayer. Now, I'm not talking about, when I say reading the Bible and praying, I'm not talking about approaching the Bible with this attitude. "Well, I've got to get my devotions in." Have you ever done that? Have you ever heard that, or you ever approached it that way? Now, that won't do us much good just to say, well, I got to get my devotion in, right up down the Bible. Well, check it off and go to bed. Now, listen, you've been there and I have too. But that won't do you much good. I do read my Bible every day because it's my duty to read the Bible every day. I know I ought to read the Bible every day. But sometimes I'm cold and dead spiritually, and I'm sort of don't feel like God is 40 foot away when I get in the Word. But all of a sudden, when I get in that book, God starts speaking to my soul. And so we need to get in the Word of God every day. We need to approach the Word of God with a hunger in our hearts for the Lord. We ought to hunger as we come to that book. We ought to approach that book with a soul that hungers after God and a soul that wants to know God. That's the way we need to approach the Word of God. And I pray for my children every day almost that, Lord, give my children a bent toward God in their souls. And folks, we ought to pray for every one of our children that God would give them a bent toward God in their soul. You and I need that holy bent in our soul toward God. And I hunger in my soul for the living God. Now, I'm not what I should be. I'm not standing up here and bragging what a great Christian I am, because I know myself. But I know this. I want to know the Lord in a greater way. I want to walk with Him in a closer way. And have more intimate fellowship with the Lord. There's a verse in the Psalms that's a special blessing to me, where the psalmist says, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I was up in Illinois one time and reading that verse. And now you won't believe this. You think I'm up here just talking ministerially tonight. But I was reading that verse, and up in the back of behind our apartment in Illinois, over the hill, and there's a stream coming down. I was sitting there having devotions, and all of a sudden a deer came off of the hill down to the creek. He didn't see me, and just got him a little water and kept on going. And the Lord just sort of illustrated that verse for me. Now, you might have a hard time believing that, but that happened. I was out hunting the other day, and I had something happen. None of these rabbit hunters believe me. They laugh at me and say, "Yeah, yeah." But one of my dogs, they went into some bushes after a rabbit, and my dog came out carrying that rabbit with him. Wait a minute, that's not it. Now you laughing a little early. Wait, I finish this thing. And the other dogs were in there, and all of a sudden they jumped another rabbit, and they come out of there running that rabbit, and my dog took off running that rabbit with a rabbit in his mouth. I mean, he run out of sight carrying a rabbit, running another rabbit. Now, nobody will believe that. Now, preachers don't lie. Now, you know that. That happened. I can't get any hunter to believe that. But this happened to me that as I was reading this verse on, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. But we do need to get into the Word every day and have a soul that is hungry for God. And this is a secret of the Christian life, to be hungry for the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And every Sunday morning, I go over on the lake, try to get alone with God, try to get a touch from God on my life. And I get down on my knees, and I pray back to the Lord. Psalm 143:6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Every Sunday morning, I pray that prayer unto the Lord, that I might have a soul that's thirsty after God. And so, folks, we need to approach the Word of God every day with a soul that hungers and thirsts after God Himself. Then another reason that people turn their back on God is because of the distractions of the world. Let me just give you these quickly tonight. And I've started to mention, I'm not going to mention that ice cream's waiting there. I'm not going to mention that. But I'm conscious that it's out there, just same as you are. But I've got a message for you tonight now. So let's just, the longer I wait, the more appetite you will have. And the longer I preach, the more you'll enjoy it. I'll just create that appetite for you. So let's get an appetite for the Word, and then you'll enjoy the ice cream more when you get out there. But another reason some people who are saved turn back on God is because of the distractions of the world. Their prosperity distracts many a Christian. A lot of people, when they have nothing, want to serve God. And they get a few things and they prosper, and then they turn their back on God. Prosperity has dulled the senses of many of a born-again American. I know when I was a boy back in Saudi, on Ducktown Road there, nobody had anything. And brother, a lot of born-again people up and down that road, people walked with God and can get a prayer through to God, shout the praises of God, and go to church and have revival. And prosperity has come to my hometown down there just like it is all across America. And you can go back down there tonight, you can't stir a revival of the state. Prosperity has dulled their spiritual sensitivity. And in Matthew 13:22, Jesus talking about the seed that fell among thorns and said the deceitfulness of riches choked the word and he became unfruitful. Then there's a lot I could say about that, but also pleasures cause many to turn their back on God. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And people are turning their back on God all across America today because they're pleasure mad. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, is a sign we're living in the last time. And then also persecution is another distraction. Some people serve the Lord as long as everything's going right. No problems. Everything's good. But you let a problem come up and a little criticism or a little persecution, and they say that if this is going to happen to me, or if they're going to do me this way, if they're going to say that about me, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to quit. Jesus said in Matthew 13:21 that some of the seed fell on stony places. But when tribulation or persecution came, he is offended. He is offended. And prosperity and pleasure and persecution will distract you if you will let it. We need to say with a songwriter, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And folks, let's make up our mind that there's going to be no turning back. If you don't settle it, I'm letting nothing cause me to turn my back on God. If you don't settle it, you'll fall by the wayside. I mean, you better decide if everybody turns their back on God, I am going God's way. I'm not going to turn my back on God. And then another reason people turn their back on God is because of the deception of false teaching. Some people want a feeling. And it doesn't matter what God's Word says. They haven't even checked out the Word of God. They want a feeling. They want a feeling like old sister so-and-so. Or they want a feeling, I heard about that good feeling, old brother so-and-so. And I want me a feeling. I want me experience. Brother, the devil can give you a feeling. The devil can get you off after an experience. If you want to feel something, stick your finger in a light socket. If you just want to feel something, that's all you're interested in. You better judge and be judged by the Word of God. Some people they'll leave a Bible-believing church, join a fundamental or liberal compromising church because they don't want the clear, unadulterated Word of God. Or some people go off into isms and cults and things like that because they follow twisted, man-made doctrine. They twist the Word of God. Some people follow the unscriptural doctrine And notice I said unscriptural doctrine of the charismatic movement. They're enamored with the idea of speaking in tongues, which is clearly not in, if you know the Word of God, you know it's not in line with the clear teachings of the Word of God. I don't care how many are doing it. I don't care. I don't care what kind of experience they claim they have. It's not a scriptural doctrine. I want everything God has for me. Everything that's clearly revealed in the Bible, I want it for my soul. I want it. I want more of the Lord in my life. I want everything God has for me. But folks, we ought not run off wanting some emotional experience and get something that's extra biblical that you don't find in the Word of God. People say, I believe in tongues, speaking in tongues according to Acts 2. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't believe in speaking in tongues according to Acts 2 if you speak in an unknown tongue. You got something. Somebody threw you a curveball. Somebody threw you a curveball. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, it's the only place in the Bible where we can know for sure what the tongues, gift of tongues is. And on the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, look at it if you have any doubt. I'm just going to mention just briefly. But in verse 4, they began to speak with other tongues or languages, not unknown, other, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And these apostles and disciples started speaking in other languages, tongues. Tongues and language synonymous. Look at the end of verse 6. Now there were people from every nation on the earth there. Look at the latter part of verse 6. That every man heard them speak in his own language. That wasn't an unknown tongue. They heard in their own language. And it started, they wondered of these uneducated Galileans speaking all these languages. And it lists all the many nationalities that were there. Look at verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, so on up. It's already mentioned the people. Verse 11. We do hear them speak in our tongues, our languages, the wonderful works of God. You don't get unknown tongues and jabbering in a heavenly language out of Acts 2. I told a Pentecostal preacher that went, oh, he said they spoke in unknown tongues first, and then they spoke in other languages. The only one thing about that, that's his idea. It's not what God's Word says, see. See, it'll keep you from getting off on tangents if you will learn, thus saith the Lord. Well, I had some other things I was going to say about false teaching, but many people get sidetracked and get turn their back on God by going after a teaching that's not clearly biblical. So many, many other reasons I can give why people turn their back on God. It's good people, saved people, preachers, deacons, bus captains, Sunday school teachers, good people, turn their back on God. Many reasons why they fall by the wayside. But I think another reason is one of the greatest reasons, and that is people turn their back on the Lord because of just plain old discouragement. Folks, we all experience discouragement from time to time. No one is immune to discouragement. And that's why we ought to encourage each other in the Lord. These young Christians been saved recently. We ought to encourage them in the Lord. We ought to encourage each other. Because the devil can get even the strongest Christian discouraged if we're not careful. And people sometimes they'll be born again, saved, right with God, and they seem to be a failure. Don't have much success in serving the Lord. And they just think, well, it's not worth it. I'm not doing anything. And I'll just quit and turn my back on the Lord and just give up. And the Bible does not require us to be successful but faithful. As 1 Corinthians 4:1, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Folks, regardless of whether you're a great success or you have limited success, be faithful to the Lord and He will bless you. And people will get discouraged because they don't think people appreciate me. Well, I'm just going to take my marbles and go home because people don't appreciate me. Don't let the devil get you feeling that way. Or a lot of people just many times get weary in the way. And Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Old Elijah is one of my favorite prophets in the Word of God. And Elijah got discouraged. And I can see him under the juniper tree. Oh, he's discouraged and down in the mouth and moaning and groaning. And said, Lord, I'm no good. Just kill me. Said, I'm just kill me, Lord. I'm not worthy. Just kill me. And the Lord said, Elijah, get up out from under. Now, this is a lastly paraphrase. Elijah, get up out of that, from under that juniper tree. I've got work for you to do. And we need to get out from under the juniper tree of discouragement and get busy serving the Lord. And if you've turned your back on God tonight and you've grown cold spiritually and you've lost out with God, I'm positive in a crowd this size tonight, there are some seated here, you've lost out, you're saved, but you've lost out with God. And did you know that's a dangerous position to be in? No God in your life. Out of touch with heaven. The Bible, a closed book. The heavens, you pray, and the heavens are brass. Disaster is right around the corner for you. And you'll either turn back to God and the church, or God is going to have to deal with you severely. Now, there are three things you need to do, and let me just mention to them briefly to get back right with God. If you're here tonight, you need to come back to God. There's three things you need to do. First of all, you need to remember. As Revelation 2:5 said, remember from whence thou art fallen. Remember one day the joy and the peace you had of knowing the Lord. Remember from when you fall. And then also in that same verse it says, and repent. So second, remember. First, remember. Second, repent. And return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon you and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Let me just say one thing about John Mark, and then I'll be through. And it's, don't turn to it, but John turned his back on Paul and departed from the work. But years on down the road, the Apostle Paul wrote young Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and said, take Mark, that's John Mark, and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Isn't that a blessing? Folks, John Mark got back right with God. He got back in the work. And he was profitable to Paul for the ministry. And if you'll get back right with God and come back to God tonight, you can have a life that's profitable unto the Lord. Don't wait. Don't delay. Come back to God tonight before you leave this service. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, no one leaving for just a moment. No one leaving for just a moment. This most important thing, the invitation is the most important thing. Don't leave. Heads bowed, every head bowed, and every eye closed. In just a moment, we're going to sing softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. And maybe God brought you here and laid this sermon idea on my heart tonight. Why Christians turn back on God. And if you've once known the Lord and you've turned back on Him, oh, you're still saved, but you're out of fellowship with the Lord. God's not real to you. The Bible's a closed book. Heaven's brass. You can't get a prayer through. Why don't you come on back to the Lord tonight? And you can have a profitable life serving the Lord. Just come on back. The Lord still loves you. And we're going to just sing, Brother Gary. Let's just start singing that. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus. Just
get up from where you're seated.
Calling,
come down this aisle tonight. God speaking to
you. And for
maybe
me,
you're not saved. You need to come. Come
on the portals.
Won't you come back to? Maybe you just need to come and rededicate your life to the Lord tonight.
Watching for you and for me.
Come on. Won't you come?
Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercy?
Lord, for this little girl saved in Children's Church, wants to follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe there's people here tonight need to join the church. God's speaking to you about that.
Come
on. God's speaking to you. Come on.
Shadows are gathering. Come
home.
Deathbeds
come back to the
coming.
Lord. Come back to peace.
Coming
come back to joy.
For you
come back to his presence.
And for me.
Come on back. There's no
come
joy out there, is there?
There's
no peace out there away from God. To stand and sing a verse or two of all. What number is that?
310.
Let's stand and sing. Thank the Lord for these that have come tonight. Join our church. Be baptized. Rededicate their life to the Lord. I appreciate these that have come. Listen. If God